السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you, شيخ؟
الحمد لله الحمد لله.
الحمد لله، إن شاء الله وسط الإخلاص. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ما بعد، dear respected students, may Allah bless you for your attendance. Today we are covering the days of ignorance, Masail al-Jahiliyyah, by Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab bin Ali. Just a quick reminder, please take notes. Listen attentively and send your questions over to me throughout the course of the lesson. With that said, I'll hand it back to the Sheikh to start the lesson. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, مسائل الجاهلية, the issues of جاهلية, by Sheikh الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. And we reach the issue number 18. Al-Mas'ala number 18. Thaminata Ashar. عقدهم في الانتساب ينتسبون إلى إبراهيم مع إظهارهم ترك اتباعه عليه السلام. So this is one of the issues of Jahiliyyah, that they contradicted themselves in ascribing or in their ascription to Ibrahim alayhi salam, to the monotheistic, ascribing themselves to the monotheistic creed. Yet their deeds reflect the opposite. When you see their actions, they don't reflect the teaching of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So yet openly manifest their lack of following him, though they claim that they are following Ibrahim alayhi salam. So anyone who claims anything, he has to prove, he has to, I mean, fulfill the criteria. It's not just by claiming and ascribing yourself that you are following Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then your deeds, they belie what you claim. So if your deeds are not reflecting what you claim, then you have this quality of Jahiliyyah, just like the people of Jahiliyyah. Because what they claim is totally different from what they practice and what they do. And this mas'ala is very important. How do you claim that you follow Ibrahim alayhi salam, the father of the prophets, whose the essences of his teachings is monotheism? Yet you commit blasphemy and you attribute to him sons, human beings, that these are the Son of God, his sons. When you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begets not, nor that he is begotten. So this is the problem, this issue. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is our role model. He's a role model for all the believers, role model for all the monotheists. Indeed, in the life, the meaning of the translation, the ayat. In Ibrahim alayhi salam is a role model, an example for you and his people. Ibrahim and his followers, they rejected the people, they renounced paganism and the idolatry. And they said openly, they told the people, "Kafarna bikum, wa bada baynana wa baynakum al-adawatu wal-baghdaa'u abada, hatta tu'minu billahi wahda." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, indeed in Ibrahim and those with him is a role model for you, an example for you to follow. And remember when they told the people, "Kafarna bikum, we disbelieve in you. We reject all your practices and all these false objects you worship besides Allah." That's why Ibrahim alayhi salam, he destroyed all of them, the idols, and he left the biggest one. So if you are following Ibrahim alayhi salam and you ascribe yourself to him, then you should abide by his creed, his deen, pure monotheism, which is free from any trace of paganism, any trace of shirk, any trace of associating any partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in many, many places, he told us about Ibrahim alayhi salam and about his mission and about his message. And so let us go through some of the ayat which mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salam. In Al Imran, ayah 96 to 97, Allah says, "Inna awwal baytin wudi'a lin-nasi lalladhi bi-Bakkata mubaraka." الذي ببكة مبارك وهدى للعالمين. من أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين. Surely the first house of worship established for humanity is the one at Bakkah, a blessed sanctuary and a guide for all people. Let us reflect on this ayah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the Kaaba, because the Kaaba has history with Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this house, the sacred house, house of Allah, in awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas. So this is the first house of worship established for mankind on earth. The one which is at Bakkah. Bakkah and Makkah. So this house was put there, placed in and established for mankind, including Adam alayhi salam. So Adam alayhi salam, when he came, it was for him there, because wudi'a lin-nas, wudi'a lin-nas. Wudi'a lin-nas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention the builders. Did not mention the one who built it. Because wudi'a is in the mabni. Grammatically, they say مبني مجهول أو ما لم يسمى فاعله. So it is in the passive. Where is the subject? Who built it? Who constructed it? Allah didn't mention that. Allah is telling us this house is the first house established for mankind, including Adam. So Adam didn't build the house, alayhi salam, because you might come across in some of the books, tafsir, because he is actually the father of mankind. And this house is for him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he sent our father and our mother, Eve, to earth, to this planet, he prepared everything for them. Everything was made ready for them. So the first house ever built and established is the house of Allah, the Kaaba, which is in Mecca. It is called Kaaba because it is cubical. The shape is cubical shape, so it is called Kaaba. وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةِ, the house which is in Mecca, in Bakka. These two words, Bakka and Mecca, are they the same? I mean, synonymous? In Arabic language, it is very hard to find two words that are synonymous. Every word has, it carries a special meaning, significant meaning. So this holy place, it was giving two names, Bakkah and Makkah. It is called Bakkah because if you go to the root, Bakkah Yabuku, means to destroy, actually to break one's neck. بك عنقه. He broke his neck. So this holy place, anyone tries to commit sins there or spread corruption there or try to harm the worshippers there, he will be destroyed. Because this is Bakka. Allah decreed anyone who tries to attack it, this holy place, he will be destroyed. He will be destroyed. And you know the famous story of the elephant. The elephant. Surah Al-Fil. When Abraha, the Abyssinians, who was ruling Yemen, he built a massive cathedral in Sana'a called Al-Qulais, Al-Qulais. And he wanted all the Arabs to leave the Kaaba and come to this cathedral, this church. One of the Bedouin, the Arab, went to this place and he made the Abraha very angry and furious. And then he was told, the Arabs, they will not come to Al-Qulais and leave the Kaaba. Because we have to understand that the Arabs are descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And they know that this house was raised, we're going to come to that, by Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ishmael alayhi salam. Because the Kaaba was destroyed, demolished due by floods, whatever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Ibrahim alayhi salam and told him to leave his son and his wife, as you know, Hajar, next, near the location of the house, the remnants of the house. As Ibrahim said, Rabbi inna wada'tu askantu min dhurriyyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in 'inda baytika al-muharram. Oh my Lord, I have left my family, okay, in a barren valley next to your house, the sacred house. The sacred house, only the remnants was not there. Only the place of it is there. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail, when Ismail grew up, with Yarfa Ibrahim al Qawa'id min al Bayt. Yarfa. Wa'id Yarfa'u. Yarfa means to raise. And raising, that means the third dimension. Because it is cubical, the area, length and width and height. Yarfa is for the height. The place, the area is known, is known. So what Ibrahim did, he constructed it, raised the house and built it. So the boundaries, the limits of the house are known to Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's why the Kaaba you see today, the limit of it, including the Hijr Ismail, the arch, is part of the Kaaba. So Ibrahim, he alayhi salam, he raised and constructed the Kaaba, covering the whole area, whole area. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said to Aisha, had your people not newly reverted to Islam, I would have demolished the Kaaba and reconstructed it and rebuilt it on the foundations, ala qawa'id Ibrahim, the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And they would have made it levels to the ground, and they would have made for it two doors. They enter from one and leave from the other. But what stopped the Prophet ﷺ from doing that, that they just came, newly reverted to Islam. So if the Prophet ﷺ starts to demolish the Kaaba to rebuild it, that might cause fitna for the new revolt. So he left it as we see it today. So the foundations are known to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he raised it. Ibn Zubayr, when he became the Khalifa, he fulfilled the wish of the Prophet ﷺ, and he built the Kaaba on the foundation of Ibrahim ﷺ. The reason the Kaaba is not built before on the foundation of Ibrahim ﷺ, because Quraysh, during the time of Quraysh, there was a flood and also the walls of the Kaaba, because Mecca is in the valley. The Kaaba is in the valley of Mecca. Okay. So Quraysh decided to rebuild the house of Allah, but they said, this is the house of Allah, we have to build it only from halal. So the money, it should be halal 100%. So all the money they could raise was not sufficient to build the entire house. So they built part of it and they made the arch. Okay, so now we know that this is the first house established for humanity, for mankind on earth. And as you know, on top of it is al-Bayt al-Ma'mur for the Malaika. Malaika, they are on top, making tawaf around the Bayt al-Ma'mur every day, 70,000, and they will not come back. And the Kaaba on earth for us, for the human beings. So it is called Bakka. Because anyone, so when this Abraha decided to force the Arabs to come to Sana'a, you know what happened to him. Allah destroyed him. And Allah sent, you know, Tayran Ababil, birds, okay, in groups, stoning him with baked clay. This is a great event that took place. Everyone saw it and witnessed that. That's why the Quran says, "Alam tara," to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, "كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل?" Didn't you see what Allah did, what your Lord did to the people of the elephant? Because this event is known. Everyone saw it. If this event didn't happen, Quraysh would say, What elephant are you talking about? There's no elephant. And no one came to attack the house of Allah. Right? But no one objected, because if anyone even wants to lie, everyone knows. See, come on, shut up. All of us, we saw that. So it is a fact. Abraha came with his troops and they were destroyed. And the birds came and the people saw the birds stoning them. Some of the ulama who were influenced by, you know, the Western thought and culture wanted to give them rational answer. And this is Muhammad Abdul rahimahullah. He said, no, there were no birds actually, there were microbes, germs. No, Allah said, Tayr, Tayr and Ababil. Birds came. And this is a problem with many, even of the dua today. They want to rationalize everything. Make it rational. Even if that by twisting the text itself. By twisting the text itself. The Quran, my dear brothers and sisters, came in the Arabic tongue. So if you want to understand the Quran, understand it when the Bedouin 1400 years ago heard it. He didn't know anything about germs, microbes, viruses, all that. He knows birds, and he saw with his own eyes. So no need. That's why one of the conditions when you make tafsir of the Quran, it has to agree with the Arabic tongue. So Bakkah destroyed Abraha. Allah destroyed the army of Abraha, because this is Bakka. Anyone intends to cause any harm to its inhabitants, he will be destroyed. He will be destroyed. His neck will be broken. So Allah sent birds. Birds finished the army. So keep this in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. مِثْقَالَ خَيْر. Any good. Any good equal to the weight of ذَرَّة. ذَرَّة. مثقال ذرة. If you do a good deed equivalent, equal to the weight of the ant, you will find it. And actually, ذرة, because English language is cannot convey the meaning, because we have نملة and ذرة. Dhar and naml. The dhar is very, very small. The dharra is smaller than the namla. Smaller than the namla. And the meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, even if It is so minute, equal the size of this small ant, you will find it, you'll get it, this good deed. You'll not lose it. It will be preserved and kept for you. Yet you find, subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of the, because here, there is something here, a problem, which is they call al-i'jaz al-ilmi for Quran, the scientific miracles in the Quran. There are scientific miracles, no doubt. But some people, they went overboard, and they even to the extent to misconstrue the text itself. And that's unacceptable. Ibn Abbas, for example, when he made the tafsir, مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان. Allah mixed the two seas and there is barzakh, barrier between them. He said, Allah mixed two seas and he kept a barrier by his power. His tafsir is valid. Two seas mixed and there is barrier in between them. Because Allah said, and so he made the tafsir according to the tongue of the Arabs, how the Arabs understand it. So the dharra is this small, not an atom. I'm sure many of you have the Quran and you find there an atom's weight, atom. Because the atom is very, 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 very small. And some they said, because the Quran also said, even smaller than the atom. They said the Quran mentioned that, which means the nucleus and too much. إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة. Okay, so the first house established is the one in Bakkah. And we know now why it is called Bakkah. So why is it also called Makkah? Makkah. So Bakkah, Bakkah yabukku, to break someone's neck. And because that's what will happen to anyone who tries to spread mischief and corruption in Makkah. How about Makkah? Makkah. Makkah, from the root Makkah yamukku, to suck, to suckle. Makkah al-fasilu dar'a ummihi. Makkah al-fasil, this little camel suckled and sucked the whole milk in the udder of its mother. Makkah al-halib, Makkah al-laban. So this small camel starts sucking and suckling and drinking all the milk until the udder is empty. So it is called Makkah. It's called Makkah because any water after the rain vanishes quickly. It does not retain the water. It doesn't retain the water. Just in the same way, the little camel empties the udder of its mother. So it is Makkah. That's why. When Ibrahim alayhi salam left Hajar alayhi salam and her son Ismail alayhi salam, he left some food with them and skin bag full of water. And then she ran out of water, Hajar alayhi salam, so she, and her son is crying, so she started looking for water. No water in Makkah. Safa, Marwa, Safa, Marwa. Going, looking. And to her surprise, when she came, she saw this spring, this water gushing out. Jibril alayhi salam hit the ground with his wing and the water gushed. And she was trying to protect the water from flowing by, you know, accumulating the earth around the water so that the water would not flow. And the Prophet ﷺ said, had she let it to flow, that would become a river. But she was keen and she was in dire need for the water. She doesn't want the water to flow and to go away from her. So she is accumulating the water and try to protect it and like forming a pond or pool so that the water will remain. Okay, now, a tribe of the Yemenites, people of Yemen, called Jurhum, they were passing by and they know Mecca, there's no water, and they saw birds in the sky. Said, hey, we know there's no water in Mecca, and there are birds there. So when you see birds in the sky, there must be water. And they came and they found Hajar alayhi salam with her son and the water. She said, the water is mine. They said, yes. She said, I will not give you freely. They agreed. And then they asked her permission. Imagine, you see the values, moral, ethical values. A tribe, weak woman, they could have said, come on, who are you to stop us? No, they said, yes, the water is yours, and we will not take it freely. Would you mind allowing us to settle in this area? And she gave them permission. Okay. So now you know why it is called Mecca and why it is called Bakka. Okay, coming to the ayah. Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nasi lalladhi bi Bakkata mubarakan wa hudan lil alamin. So the first house, as you know, is the one which is the Kaaba in Bakka or Mecca. And this house is Mubarak. Mubarak, a blessed place. Wahudan lil alameen, and it's a guide for all people. And this holy place, the hearts from all over. Wa'adhin fi nas bil hajj atuka rijal wa ala kulli dhamir yatina min kulli fajjin amim. Ibrahim, after he raised the house, he climbed on the Safa and he called. He screamed for the people to come and perform pilgrimage. Because Allah told him, just do your part and we will make all to hear. And you see the hearts are coveting and crying and yearning to go to the house of Allah. You come to it, and you go back, then you want to go back again to the house of Allah. All the prophets of Allah, they come to this house. Even Isa alayhi salam, when he comes back, when he descends, he will come and perform the Hajj and perform tawaf around the house of Allah. Mubarakan wa hudan lil alameen. Then Allah said, in this house, fihi ayatun bayyinatun maqamu Ibrahim. Fihi ayatun bayyinatun maqamu Ibrahim. ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. In it, the Kaaba, in the house of Allah, Haram, the sanctuary, in it are clear signs. And the standing place of Abraham, Maqam Ibrahim. You know now, you see it. And you see the stone and engraved. Because that's what Ibrahim was standing on. So Ibrahim, alayhi salam, he was raising the house to his height. So he wants to make it higher. So he has to stand on this stone. And his son is helping him. Whoever enters it, the Kaaba, the house of Allah, the Haram, whoever enters it should be safe. Pilgrimage to the house is an obligation by Allah upon whoever is able among the people. And whoever disbelieves, then surely Allah is not in need of any of his creation. Let us reflect here. So, fihi, in the house of Allah, a science. Okay? You have the Zamzam, you have the black stone. There are signs. This black stone came from the Jannah. It was white and turned black because of the sins of the children of Adam. This black stone, whoever kisses it or touches it will testify for him on the day of resurrection. This black stone was stolen by the Qaramita who attacked the pilgrims in the Hajj time and removed the black stone. That's why it is broken, chipped. And they took it to the eastern province of Saudi Arabia today, Al-Qatif, because that's where the Qaramita were. Then they started dying and having diseases, stuff like that. So they told them, this is the curse. You have to go send the Hajar, the black stone, back to Mecca. And they returned it. They killed the pilgrims and they threw them in the well of Zamzam. That's what they did. So this black stone was not black. So anyone who kisses it, if you cannot kiss it, touch it and then kiss your hand. And Sayyidina Umar said, I know you are a stone. You cannot benefit me anything. إني لا أعلم أنك حجر لا تنفع ولا تضر ولولا أني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبلك ما قبلتك. So he said, you are a stone. Had I not seen my prophet kissing you, I would not have kissed you. فيه آيات بينات. So there are clear signs in the house of Allah. Among them, Maqamu Ibrahim. that station. As why it is sunnah when you perform the tawaf, after finishing the seven rounds, you pray two rak'ahs behind Maqam Ibrahim, if you can. And you read in the first rak'ah, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, and in the second, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, Maqam Ibrahim. Then Allah said, وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. Whoever enters this house, كَانَ آمِنًا, he will be safe. Whoever enters this house is safe. What does this mean? The ayah says, whoever enters will be safe. But is this the reality? We just mentioned pilgrims were killed and thrown into the well of Zamzam. So where is safety here? Scratch your head now. You don't know Arabic? How you are going to resolve this? Okay. The kalam, the speech in Arabic, two types, two parts of the speech. Ikhbar and insha. I repeat, speech, two parts. Ikhbar, informing, and insha, do's and don'ts. This is the speech. Now my question to you. This, وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا, whoever enters the house of Allah, he is safe. Is this ikhbar or insha? Is this informing? Or is it insha? Obligations? Oh, you who are in charge of this house, oh, you who are the custodians, grant the pilgrims and make sure that they are safe. That is the meaning of insha. Or is it, or does it mean, or is it informing that it is a fact by just entering the house of Allah, you are safe? Which one is now? Is this ikhbar or insha? Of course, it's not ikhbar, because the reality is different. People entered the house of Allah and they were killed. So it's not ikhbar, because if Allah said, whoever enters, he will be saved, and he meant ikhbar, then no crime would have been committed inside the house of Allah. But because it's not ikhbar, it is insha. Allah gave the responsibility and placed it on the shoulders of those who are in charge, the custodians. And he made their task, their mission, to protect the pilgrims. Don't you know that in the last century, in the 70s, group of Muslim youth, but they were ignorant, fooled by the shaitan, and by the dreams led by Juhayman al-Utaybi, زي انت الدهاوشة في الله. And for days, there was fighting, bullets flying here and there, bloodshed. Because it is not ikhbar, it is insha. So, وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. So, Allah made the custodian, those who are in charge of taking care of and providing services and serving the pilgrims, that is their duty to do that. So, you have to understand and differentiate between the ikhbar and the insha. And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, and I hope that you are taking notes. Aqidah falls under ikhbar, aqidah. Sharia under insha. Aqidah under the ikhbar, Sharia under the insha. The aqidah, because prophets, they inform us there is Jannah, there is hellfire, there's a resurrection, there are angels, there are jinn. So here, all of them, they're saying is the same, which makes sense. You don't expect a prophet to come and to say, there is Jannah. Another one comes and says, no, there's no Jannah. Now, all of them. So all of them, the prophets, their belief is the same, the aqidah is the same. And no abrogation in the aqidah, because it is ikhbar, no abrogation. The abrogation happens regarding the sharia, which is the do's and the don'ts, the law. And that also makes sense. Because what is the law? Do's and don'ts. Sharia, addressing the people's needs. Do these things, don't do these things. And people needs to keep increasing. So the law has to be also developed to accommodate the new needs of the people. And that's why there is abrogation in the law. This messenger comes with a new law, abrogates the law before. And the obligations in the previous law are also incorporated in the new law. So it is a new version of the law. And finally, this Sharia was finalized by the Sharia of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah made it unique. He embedded and built within this Sharia many mechanisms, element, which makes it flexible, accommodating. So any new problem, any new issue, the Sharia is capable and able to provide answers for it, for the new problems, the new issues. That's why no abrogation in the Aqidah. Why? Because it is ikhbar, informing. Abrogation in the Sharia, the do's and the don'ts. So keep this in mind. This will help you when you are reading some ahadith, for example, that when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abu Dharr, oh, if you live longer, you can see a woman traveling from Al-Iraq, okay, to Sana'a, fearing no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people who do not have the tools, and especially usul al-fiqh, they will say, you know, if the road is safe, a woman can travel without a mahram. Without mahram. So we ask them, is this first of all, is this ikhbar or insha? Is this ikhbar or insha that a woman travels by herself? Indeed, it is ikhbar. Just a fact the Prophet is mentioning. It's not an approval that a woman travels without a mahram. It's not insha that it is permissible, it's okay for a woman if the way is safe to travel without a mahram. So the Prophet, he said, لا يحل لامرأة أن تسافر إلا مع ذي محرم. It's unlawful for any woman to travel without a mahram. Without a mahram. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا, which means you who are in charge and responsible, custodian, grant and make sure the safety of the people, of the pilgrims, is guaranteed. Then Allah said, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. So this house is, the first house was established. Ibrahim raised it after it was destroyed and demolished. And when he finished building it, he called the people to perform Hajj. Then Allah imposed pilgrimage on the believers. Walillahi. Hajj, the pilgrimage, is for Allah, to His house. Allah imposed it, made it an obligation, ala nas, upon mankind, the believers. Walillahi ala nasi, goes and nas here, the believers, not the mushriks. Because the believers are part of an-nas. And this discussion mentioned in Usul al-Fiqh, عام and خاص. So the nas is عام and meant the خاص, خاص meant the عام, specific meant general, general meant. So here general, but it meant the believers. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ. So the pilgrimage, visiting, coming to the house of Allah. Al-Bayt. حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ. The house. It's defined. Because if you say Al-Bayt, Bayt al-Haram, everyone knows it is in Mecca. حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. If you can afford it, if you can afford going to Mecca. Financially, physically, maybe financially you are okay, but you are old, you cannot travel. Then someone has to do the Hajj on your behalf, providing that that person already before the Hajj. Also, that you financially is able, you have the means of paying for the accommodation and the airfare, the tickets, all these things. And also that the way, maybe you are financially able, physically able, but the route is not safe. In the past, it was very difficult. There are highway robbers. If you are traveling by land, on foot. If you are by sea, the pirates. Or sometimes the sea is rough. and the ships were made of wood, not of strong. So if the route is not safe, then you are exempted. Allah will not blame you. Allah will not hold you accountable because the route, the way is not safe. The way is safe, but you don't have a mahram for the woman. Financially okay, physically okay, route is okay. You don't have mahram. Then you are exempted from going to Hajj. So don't travel and go to the Hajj without mahram. And don't look for any fatwa. Oh, if there are a group of women and it is safe, they can travel. Prophet, when the Sahabi told him, I registered to go for the military expedition and my wife sets out for Hajj, he told him, Elhaq bi zawjik. Leave the jihad. Leave. Go with your wife. Go with your wife. So do not just look for weak opinions here and there. And I mentioned to you many times the story Ibn Hazm rahimahullah mentioned in one of his books, I think, Talq al-Hamama. He said a group of women from Al-Andalus, Spain, Andalusia, group, they went for Hajj, performed Hajj, everything. And the way back, all of them committed zina with the captain of the ship. Every night he would go to one and he would sleep with her. And they start informing each other. So their head, their Amira, the Amira, she was the last one. She said, if he comes to me, I prepared this blade, I will cut his organ. He came to her and she joined the club. So all of them committed zina. Then Allah ended the ayah, warning us, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And whoever kafara, disbelieves, or becomes ungrateful, he doesn't want to come to the Hajj. So if you are able, do not procrastinate and do not delay the Hajj. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. You're not interested, you are indifferent, you are ungrateful, you don't want to come to the house of Allah. Don't you know, my dear brothers and sisters, it is sunnah, recommended to renew the Hajj, recommended every 5 years. Go. After every 5 years, if you can, go and perform Hajj. And whoever disbelieves, then surely Allah is not in need of any of his creation. Allah is not in need of you. The Hajj, once in your lifetime, and it is one of the pillars of the Al-Iman, and pillars of the Al-Islam. So here, this is Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is his story. This is his relation, the relationship between him and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what he did. This is what he taught And then you claim that you follow him when you are far, far away from his teachings. So it's not just by claiming that you are following Ibrahim alayhi salam, but in reality you are not. That will not benefit you at all. That you call yourself a monotheist when you are not a monotheist. You ascribe to Allah a son. Subhanallah. When you read, for example, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, how can it is impossible to accept what is there? How they talk about prophets of Allah. Lut, sleeping with his own daughters. A'udhu billah. Jacob wrestling with God. Jacob, Yaqub, wrestling with God, with Jehovah. And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Does this have any link with monotheism? Or this is paganism and this is polytheism? And then you claim that you follow Ibrahim alayhi salam. So my dear brothers and sisters, we should know what is the essence, what is the real creed of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is the Hanifiya, that creed, pure monotheism. So you should know the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and anyone who claims that he is following Ibrahim alayhi salam, we tell him, we will check you against the yardstick, the criteria, the acid test, the monotheistic creed. If you pass, well and fine. If you fail, you are not following Ibrahim alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us upon the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam, upon the Hanifiya as-Samha, upon this monotheistic creed. And may Allah make us die upon this monotheistic creed, upon the Tawheed. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen until we breathe our last and find Allah our Lord pleased with us. Ameen. May Allah forgive us all faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah bless us with the beneficent knowledge and righteous deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah on the haqq and unite our hearts on the haqq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allahu khayra. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ameen wa alaikum assalam. Allah. Sheikh, we have received a few questions. Let me know when you have received the first one.
1 minute. Yes, go ahead, Akhi.
The first question, as you may have seen in the Kaaba, there's footprints that can be seen, which is preserved. So whose are they?
Yeah, this is what you in the maqam, this groove in the stone itself. That is where Ibrahim alayhi salam was standing. And the question is that, is this something he made with his own hands, so that what he can place his feet there, fix them, so he will not fall? Or is it something medical happened that it softened and his feet made that impression or that sign? Allah knows. But that what Ibrahim alayhi salam was standing there. Next question, please.
The next question, is there any hadith that describe how Allah adorned the heaven, the malaika, the Quran, and Jannah with this, etc.?
Be honest, the question is not clear to me. Is there any hadith that described how Allah adorned the heaven with this Malaika? Quran? What? I didn't. I don't understand what the question I'm trying to say. Would you? I beg the questioner to rephrase his question or her question. Next, please make your questions clear. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he adorned and beautified the Jannah. And he sent Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel saw it, said anyone who hears of it will enter the Jannah, will not do anything except to he would try his best to enter the Jannah. Then he sent him and told him to go and see the hellfire. Said anyone who hears of it, he will not come near it. Then he sent him for the second time, where the Jannah was surrounded with hardships and the hellfire with lusts, desires. And Jibreel said, hardly many, few only can make it to the Jannah, to the and the majority will go to the hellfire. So that's what we know. So if the questioner meant something else, please make your question clear and to the point, please.
I believe the questioner meant, is there any hadith where Allah has mentioned he has adorned all of these things in one single hadith?
Okay. What is the best method that you would recommend for children to learn reading and writing for the Holy Quran, like Qaida Baghdadiya? Yes, Qaida Baghdadiya, that's the very effective method of learning the alphabets, and a child will be able to read before. I'm talking about myself. That was our kindergarten, Qaida Baghdadiya, before we go to school. because in our times, you have to be 7 years to be admitted for primary one or elementary one. So before that, you have to go to the teacher of the Quran and Qa'ida Baghdadiya, they start with you. And before going to school, you are able to write and to read. Nowadays, it's not there. This is old method. Now he is in grade 5 or 6, he can't write. Or if you give him passage to read it, he will make many mistakes. This is the dilemma. Yes, teach your children the Qa'ida Baghdadiya, and if the teacher who's teaching the Quran, he starts with the Qa'ida Baghdadiya, that's the right method, inshallah. Next question.
The next question: was the paradise of Adam and Eve on earth or in heaven?
Well, this is there are different views on this, but the strongest it is in heaven. So the Jannah that he Adam was in is the Jannah in heaven, not the any Jannah. Meaning Jannah means garden. Okay, any garden. So they said it was just a garden somewhere, and that's the whole thing. No, otherwise, Musa would not have objected, and he would not have questioned our father Adam and said, "You are our father, and you brought us down from the Jannah." Which Jannah he's talking about? The Jannah, which is the Jannah. So Allah created Adam in the Jannah and sent him down. Yes, so the Jannah, which is the one, and the Prophet ﷺ, he went and entered the Jannah. He went and entered the Jannah on the night of the Mi'raj. So it is the Jannah which is known. Next.
Barakallahu feekum. The next question: was Adam the first one to raise the foundation of the Kaaba?
At the foundation after it was demolished, yes, he was the first one. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him and left his wife and Ismail alayhi salam, the Kaaba, the location's there, but it was only remnants and ruins. So he raised, yes, that's what Allah told us. But this Kaaba was established before this house, as we just discussed. The first house Allah placed and established, Linnas, including Adam alayhi salam. Who built it? Allah knows. The Malaika, we don't know. Next.
Barakallahu feekum. The next question: is paying riba equal to consuming riba?
Is paying riba equal to consuming riba? It is haram because you have taken loan. For example, and you are paying the riba now. Those people who are taking loans from the banks or mortgage or whatever. So they are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are Allah's waging war against them. Okay, so they are in bad shape. So they have to repent. They should not treat the issue of riba lightly, you know. Okay, stay away from the riba. Stay away from it. Next.
Barakallah feekum. This was the last question. So I think we'll end it here. Jazakallah khair. May Allah bless you all for your attendance. May Allah accept it. And I'll hand it back to the Sheikh to conclude the lesson. Barakallah feekum. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward you immensely for your patience and attendance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your family, elevate your status in this world and in Jannatul Na'im. Ameen. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Fi hifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.